Truth.
What is truth? Is truth just anything that someone believes? The phrase, my truth, is becoming more popular in the modern vernacular, especially these past few years. If it is true to you, is that all that matters? Or does something become truth if it is widely agreed upon and recognized as being true by the majority? For example, transgenderism has come to the forefront in recent years and has been gaining popularity and acceptance in the mainstream unlike at any time in history. The belief that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man is gaining traction as being fact. A survey of U.S. adults conducted in October of 2022 found that 38% believe someone can be a man or a woman even if that is different from their sex at birth. That's more than one out of three. But it gets worse. Out of the white Democrat demographic, 72% believe men can be women. 72%. So, is it true that a man can become a woman? If a man decides to dress as a woman, does that make him a woman? What if he legally has his name changed to a woman's name? Is he a woman? What if his friends, family, and co-workers recognize him as a female? Does that make him a woman? What if the state and private institutions force people to use female pronouns for this man because it would be illegal to do otherwise? Does that make him a woman? What if doctors change his listed sex from male to female on his medical history? Does that make him a woman? Or let's go a few steps further. What if he undergoes female hormone therapy and has gender reassignment surgery? Is he now a woman? He looks like a woman, acts like a woman, thinks he's a woman, and is recognized by government institutions, friends, family, as a woman. Abraham Lincoln was fond of asking, if you call a dog's tail a leg, how many legs does a dog have? The audience would answer, five. And he would politely respond, the correct answer is four. Calling a tail a leg does not make it a leg. Names of things do not affect what they really are. So is that man a woman? No. He is a man, pretending to be a woman. Man can do everything under the sun to change the physical. He can change all the laws, change the societal norms, but his genetic code, his DNA, his XY chromosomes, the very core of his creation, all say that he is a man. God created him a man. Yet, if we state this fact in today's world, we will be labeled as transphobic. That's where we are today. The fruit that comes from any foundation other than God's word can only cause confusion and ultimately destruction. It's so critical that we hold on to the truth. That's what I want to talk about, holding on to God's truth, which is the only truth and the only thing that matters. So what is the truth? John 17:17 defines truth. You can put that in your notes, but it says, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 4 and verse 4. Let's turn to Matthew 4 and verse 4. Being that God's word is truth, what are we to do with that understanding? How does that affect our lives, the way we think, act, what we believe? Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 4 verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His word is truth, and we must live in truth. It can never be the way I see it. It must always be the way God sees it. To do otherwise would be going off track. You see, there's a purity in God's truth. Put in your notes Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 6. It says, "Every word of God is pure. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." So why is that? We're not pure creatures. We are inherently imperfect beings. If we add our imperfections to something that is pure in God's word, then it is no longer pure. It is no longer his word. It is no longer truth. It has become tainted. It's why everything man seems to touch turns to dirt. Our food supply, our education, our governments, our entertainment, our healthcare, because none of it is based on the word of God. All of it is based on man thinking he knows better than God, that he can do things better than God. Man has rejected God's truth and built his own foundation of truth, and has continued to build on that foundation for the past 6,000 years. But what does Christ tell us would be the result on building on such a foundation? Turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read verses 24 through 27. Christ tells us a parable about the perils that come with building a house on the sand. So this is Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." God is our rock. That parable demonstrates why he is called our rock. His word grounds us. When things go haywire, when the storm is upon us, we're able to withstand because the foundation we built our house on will not give way. God's truth acts as a beacon to course correct when things start getting off track, like a lighthouse in a foggy night, where we can't see clearly, but we know if we can see that light in the distance, we won't end up shipwrecked. God's truth, his word, is our litmus test. We have the ability to take anything told to us and put it up against God's word and see if it holds up. If it's aligned with God's word, it's true. And if it's not, it's false. It's interesting that at the end of verse 26 in Matthew 7, Christ says, "And great was its fall." The United States is, or was, the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of man. Its power unmatched, its wealth beyond imagination. The very pinnacle of God's physical blessings, yet the United States is a nation that has forsaken God's truth for their own truth. And we can see the walls begin to crumble. Israel has lost their way. Israel has built their house on the sand, and we know how great its fall will be. Satan and his fallen angels also chose to reject God, to reject his truth for Satan's version of the truth. Their punishment will be unimaginable. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Turn to Isaiah 5, and this will be verses 20 through 21. Isaiah 5, verses 20 through 21. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." This passage rings truer every day. Up is down, left is right, black is white. Don't spray me with a garden hose and tell me it's raining. That's what it feels like in this world when we hear experts speak to us. Those held in high regard by society are telling us their versions of the truth. And I sometimes wonder, do they believe what they're saying? Because it's so off the wall contrary to what the plain truth is. I think a lot of them do. After all, Satan has deceived the whole world. It's easy for us to say, wow, how could you fall for that? Only a fool could believe that. But if we don't have God's word, if our eyes aren't open to God's truth, chances are we'd be right there believing some of those things too, because we wouldn't have God's foundation. We would be basing everything we know off of man's foundation. Hot-button issues like abortion, which is man's truth that you aren't a human being until after birth, or gay marriage, which is man's truth that any two people can be married regardless of sex, climate change, man has the capacity and power to drastically change the Earth's climate, which is an arrogant belief when you really think about it, overpopulation, man's truth that the Earth cannot support the 8 billion people living on it, or white supremacy, man's truth that all white people are inherently racist and that only white people can be racist. Man's truths built on a foundation of lies. Truth is precious and a rarity in this world. It's hard to come by. Even within the church, we cannot agree on certain things because so many neglect or reject the truth of our spiritual heritage. That Mr. Armstrong was God's end-time apostle and we should be keeping with what Christ taught through him. We don't worship Mr. Armstrong, we recognize the authority that God gave to him. To reject Mr. Armstrong is a dangerously slippery slope. With that simple truth, it becomes clear on the direction we as God's church should be going. I've had correspondence with others in various COG groups, and everything is great until Mr. Armstrong is brought up. And that's where it always breaks down. Whether it be an issue of voting, or church government, or makeup, or even tithing. Because Mr. Armstrong's authority isn't recognized, the argument from the other side eventually becomes the way I see it. Also known as my truth. Which is all that matters, right? It's very dangerous, and it's very easy to get into that mentality. It's a Laodicean attitude. Let the people decide what is truth. And we can't fall into that trap. The truth is absolute. The truth comes from one single source. God, not man. Our opinions do not matter. We know where to look for the truth, and we must hold on to that truth to carry us through.